Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Annie DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all persons. My name is Melissa Annie DeBerry. I'm a licensed clinical addiction specialist. I'm a licensed professional counselor associate. I'm also a master's level addiction counselor, and I am a child of God. I'm here this morning. I'm excited about this broadcast, last broadcast for National Recovery Month, the date September the 29th, 30 days in September, one more day for the month, and it has been a really good month. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for just allowing us to make it through the night with all of the storms and the rains and the winds and the water that was all over the road. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for your hedge of protection that was all around me and my family and all those who are still surviving from that aftermath of that, not being able to get out of the homes. Dear Heavenly Father, just pray and let them know that you are there for them and that they are fully capable. You are fully capable of doing everything and being everything that they need. And God, as we go forward this day, please just allow us to let our light so shine. Let those know that we're just here to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm running behind. I had a memory loss of the number to call in, but we're here. The call-in number is 347-945-5924. I don't heavily market this program, and I'm not sure why. Too many irons in the fire is what my mother always says. Have a lot of things that go on from week to week or day to day, in addition to the different things that I do for work, for volunteer, just for hobby's sake. A lot of things that go on. National Recovery Month, for the month of September, we planned for the event that was hosted on the 9th, the 12th, and the 17th for about a month and a half. And during that time, I was going around, and it is a free event that I wanted to put on. I wanted individuals to know about what National Recovery Month was all about and everything that entailed. And so it was really interesting to have started that particular marketing and promoting. This year I wasn't able to get it onto the radio or television, but I understand that there was different spots where it was mentioned, but I guess it didn't mention on the calendar, you know, any other places. Then it referred you to recoverymonth.gov or recoverymonth.org to see where in the different states where they were having different events. And so I live in one county and I work in another one. And shortly after I left the county that I work in on last week, you had a lot of things that were going on. The first thing was some discriminatory acts, which were then kind of overshadowed by, and then a gentleman died as a result of the police in Mecklenburg County or in Charlotte. And next thing you know, you got riots and protesting and a lot of things that were going on. And so the discriminatory act of Crave, which is a dessert bar, I ain't know anything about. To my understanding, they have really good dessert. They also have drinks, which is very confusing. Drinks that taste like desserts. But I'm a drug and alcohol counselor, and that's very confusing to me. I have never been like, oh, yeah, let's go drink my dessert. That's just strange to me. But anyway, I digress. So I'm listening, and I'm realizing that shortly after I left the county on last Tuesday, yeah, people that were out in the street, and they were burning, and they were confronting the police, and they were protesting near around where the gentleman died, and then they were on the highways, and then they made their way downtown. Then they began to have organized protests downtown, so they corralled them downtown, and then it dissipated. We had a lot of rain, so people were like, huh, I don't think I'm going to be protesting out in the rain. Me and my kids, we left. We left and got away. And I tried to explain that, you know, they always talk about being awake and seeing different things that are going on. I've been in the field of drugs and alcohol for a very, very long time. So it's not the first time that I have heard about any of it. One of my interns, she's 23 or 24, 25, forget her age, and she's like, well, it was a magazine we were looking through, and it had the Million Man March from 1995 in it. And she said, well, Melissa, what was going on in 1995? And I was like, I don't remember. And then I thought about it. It was somewhere around Rodney King and how they tore L.A. and how they rioted and looted and all these different things. So from then until now, it seemed like a lot of things have changed. It pretty much seems like things have stayed the same. And so I remember that we did they had the Million Man March, and I was like, it was, you know, Farrakhan, I think the Muslims, but it was Muslims and Christians and all of these people that came together on the Washington Mall and had a pretty peaceful march, you know, had some demonstrations and things like that, but for the most part, he said, well, what does that have to do with National Recovery Month? Well, the history of National Recovery Month is kind of similar because you had, so about 28, 29 years ago, really 30 years ago, different changes happened in the field of mental health and substance abuse, name changes, book changes, people changed, you know, but people were yet still dying as a result of drugs and alcohol. And what was happening is on the legal part or the governmental side, it appeared that the government wasn't doing all that it could to help, to fund programs. Matter of fact, what it was doing, it was taking money from the programs. And then you have to count how many wars have we had since the inception of National Recovery Month and how many things have transpired since, you know, just all along. So if you look historically speaking, when you think about National Recovery Month, the whole thing was creating this type of awareness, which you have an awareness. Now we have social media. Back then, all you could rely on was the news and the news media. And you didn't have the people asking the different questions like they're asking now. But for National Recovery Month, they wanted to let people know that recovery was possible and the way that it was possible, just like with dealing with violence and just like dealing with everything that's happening in the world. The only way that we're going to be able to deal with that or do anything about it is we got to come together. We got to have conversations. We got to communicate. We got to deal with one another. We got to focus and utilize our energies. We've got to look at our history. We've got to see what worked. We've got to see what didn't work. We've got to, you know, just kind of build on that. And so, you know, it's automatic for me as a drug and alcohol counselor to, when given a platform, to automatically walk towards it and say recovery is possible if we come together. Recovery is possible if we bring all of our resources together. Recovery is possible. So every year when I have the event, I go around and I start federal with the president. You know, to make sure that there's a proclamation that is written and what it says. And SAMHSA, which is Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, and they orchestrate it. So I just kind of fall in line with that. And then you do it statewide. So the governor, you know, with the expectation of putting the proclamation along with all the other states and seeing which states represent it. And then county, you know, covered Mecklenburg County and Alamance County this year. Next year, I travel through at least six counties back and forth to my office in Charlotte. I go through Guilford, which is Greensboro. I go through part of Randolph, which is Asheboro and High Point. And I go through Rowan, Cabarrus, and then Mecklenburg. So Alamance, Guilford, Randolph, Rowan, Cabarrus, Mecklenburg. Six counties. And so if we cover just six counties next year, doing the exact same thing and replicating the event that way. And the only way that I'm believing that I'm going to be able to do that is to start today. But earlier enough in order to be able to cover the ground and talk to the different people you need to talk to and go through the different channels that you need to go through. Just then planning the event, you know, the park, Mecklenburg County Park and Rec allowed me to use Sugar Creek Recreation Center, which is a really small place. So that I later learned that there are organizations that will allow you to use their facilities if, you know, you do a barter almost. So if I go and do some presentations for, you know, say Dove's Nest or, you know, some of those organizations, then they'll provide the facility in order to be able to use it. If with Mecklenburg County Park and Rec, you know, made the agreement with them, they work with the hotels in that area. And, you know, you got people that stay there, you know, that may or may not be under the influence of drugs, things like that. But if I begin to help them or assist them in providing them with services, then I'll be able to do that and disseminate that kind of information along the way. And still it promotes National Recovery Month, which go ahead and set the dates for next year's event. And as I travel, say, well, okay, well, we're going to have this event on this day and this event on this day and this event on this day. And I don't know, maybe next year do a 30-day event, because this is my birthday month also. And it doesn't, there's no problem with celebrating for me. It gives me opportunity to, you know, allow people to celebrate my birthday with me every day of next year, of every month. I just gave myself an idea. But, you know, because I am so grateful, recovery is possible, and I'm so grateful that I am not doing a lot of the things that I used to do. I'm grateful for a lot of reasons. As a DWI provider, it's really hard to, you know, watch these videos with these men. Then now they say the man was smoking marijuana. And then, you know, you got a young man that, you know, just got confronted by the police and they got beaten. And then they always bring up a lot of what the individual was doing or had done, you know, assaults and abuse and domestic violence and every single issue that, you know, when I do workshops and I connect substance abuse to these different issues, every single issue these young men abuse. And I say that if we had have known that you had resources in the community to maybe go and talk about things that went on in life, then perhaps some of the things, some of the feelings and some of the thoughts, some of the behaviors, some of the interactions that we have with other people, including the police, may or may not have happened. That's recovery to me, getting over the resentment of the father leaving or the father being abusive or abuse or molestation or domestic violence in the home, alcohol and use in the home, or, I mean, the list is long, being in foster care, having anger issues just because you're not mad just because you're mad. You're mad because things, you know, you're disillusioned, so it goes to anger. You know, with recovery, another word for that is just being delivered. My daughter is attempting to learn sign language, and she's learned sign language. She knows, both of them know sign language, but when you see the sign for deliverance, it goes down inside and it's thrown out, down inside and thrown out. So when you sing the song, God is a deliverer, the hand motion is you go inside and it's out. And so there's a lot of that, obviously, that you're delivered from what? That means that it's not handing something over. Even if with the handing over, it means it's got to come from one spot and go to another one. And that's what you learn or you gain in counseling and by interacting with not family members. You know, you got friends, you got family, you got mothers, you got daughters, you got, you know, best friends, things like that, you know, have their lives and things like that, and they love you. They'll never be what you need them to be. As far, you know, just let them play their role, you know, be their support system. You know, and a lot of professionals, it's not like you're going to go to them. And although you got holistic, you can go to down south and, you know, you can go to somebody and they'll give you something that'll help you, you know, if you believe in that sort of thing. But, you know, let the professionals be professionals or let people just do their job. You know, let your best friends be there to kind of help hold you up when you're when you're going through, when it gets to be much, and they got their own lot, or do it mutually and then mutually go and get the help that you need. Or if one goes, then the other one will go. Things will change automatically because some part of the connection changed as well. And so, you know, somebody has to be the – somebody has to. Always have to suffer from things that happen. And if you have a connection with an individual, you can best believe that the connection is a real one, that it is a mutual one, and that it is one that you share. So if you got friends that you have anger issues, you can guarantee that on some level your friends have it. Whether they haven't had it or will have it, y'all are connected in that way. And so if you go and you begin to deal with being at more peace, then you display that, then they'll say, well, gosh, you were just as explosive as I was. What did you do different? And then you say, well, I did this, this, and this, and I learned these techniques, this technique, and then it worked. And so, you know, that is what happened. And it's the strongest one that will work versus the weaker one. And so you just really, really think about having the opportunity to share with somebody and bounce those things off. And as a mental health counselor and as an addiction specialist, what I've seen and what I've learned over a long period of time is without honest communication between you and the next individual, that there's none of this is possible because you stay yet hidden, you know, cloaked or disguised or, you know, not a real thing and not having real thoughts, not having real feelings. And it's unfortunate that then you die and then everybody is left to kind of clean that up, you know, and then they figure out, oh, well, you know what, they might have been depressed, or you know what, they might have had an alcohol problem, or they might have had, you know, all of these other issues that you knew that they had those things, but nobody else knew that because they had become technically a different person, which is why my friends know pretty much things they don't wish to know. But I don't want anybody to my death to come, and any, this is personally, I don't want my death to come and then somebody have to explain or lie. Don't lie for me. You say straight up and down, you know, she was a different kind of person and she thought this different kind of way, and just let that to be it. Let to be individuals. That's why, you know, kids, I don't know. With my kids, I already know, and I'm trying to prepare them in such a way that they know who is who and how life works, at least in the way that in which I see it. Be forgiving, be loving, but be direct, be independent. Just try to do it all. You need someone in your life to kind of be there, but if the person's not of a benefit, then like Mr. Dixon said, if you're not a part of the solution, you are part of the problem. That has become a mantra for me, that if you're not a part, if you're not here to help, then you're here to hurt. There's no gray. Some things can be gray, but that's not gray. It's either good or bad, better or worse. You know, there's no gray to that. So if you're in the life and I'm watching, you know, psychological type of stuff, then, you know, kind of addressing that, not letting that get out of hand, and just kind of dealing with that and continue to pray and believe that God will allow the process to be as it needs to be, and then he'll allow that recovery for individuals, and every single thing, every single experience, every single thing becomes education for a person. They become educated about who they are, where they come from, you know, things that have happened, circumstances, situations, and how that is in their life in order to give them value, to enrich their lives. That is, as the Bible says, everything works together for good. So that's not some things, that's not a few things, that's everything. So that's the good and the bad, and it works together for the good for those who love God And so for individuals to know that, yeah, I might be a drug addict or was a drug addict, yeah, I might be an alcoholic, was an alcoholic, and, you know, I might have these issues or these different things happen, that if you continue to allow those resentments or things to fester inside, I call them different names for them, depending on who I'm speaking to, but if we're talking about a building, when you talk about building your life and you as a building, in that foundation, as you're digging that foundation deep, you're going to find that there are boulders and rocks and sticks and things that need to be cleaned out. And these might come from way, way back. And once those things get cleaned out, then you'll feel better, you'll think better, you'll do better, and you'll realize the value to just living life on life's terms in that regard. And then you'll be so enlightened that you will want to share with others. And that is the step 12 for someone in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, and that is the epitome of recovery, is you give back what was so freely given. Someone gave their time, someone gave their experience, someone gave hope, and then you turn around and you give that to another individual. So I'm so grateful of not doing things as I used to do them, not reacting to things as I used to react to them, not getting as upset, and just continue to do that, you know, allow my mother to be my mother, allow my best friends to be my best friends, allow my clients to be my clients, allow my interns to be my interns, and allowing my friends to be my friends, my acquaintances to be my acquaintances, and allow those who are not meant to be in your life, to not be in your life, allow those that are meant to be there to be there. And that's the recovery that I believe that the recovery month, the spirit of recovery month, was designed to do. It was saying that no matter what frustrations, no matter what limited resources, no matter what the government does over the span of 30 years, that continue to espouse the word, the hope that is in recovery, and not to be confused, not to be distracted, not to allow anything external, but continue to just do the job. If you are a counselor, to be that. If you are a therapist, to do that. If you are doing aromatherapy, to do that. If you do yoga, do that. If whoever you are, whatever you are, that you can assist. And if you've been affected, most people have been affected by some variation of addiction, whether it be alcohol or drugs or work or sex or bad relationships or something. Most people have been affected by that. And then and it says in that film that we showed on the 9th and the 12th, it says that if the title of it is The Anonymous People. If everyone is entering through recovery would say it, be a power greater than AARP, you wouldn't have these issues like, you know, removing funding and making legislative decisions about drugs and alcohol that really are going to be harmful in the long run, and making right decisions and bringing it to the attention of the government officials that they have a duty and a responsibility to the community. And this is a election year. And so to hold them to whatever it is that they say that they are planning to do, they need to do that with no excuse. And so that is exciting. That we have made it through this month, September the 29th. And on tomorrow, here's a randomness for the last 4 minutes. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe in the Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I also believe in God as the creator. And I believe that if it worked for the farmers to be watching the skies and the harvest and all these things, I also believe that it's important that to mention that it said that this is the second new moon in the month, and its name is called a black moon. And it says when we came into the month of September, which is my September the 1st, which was a Thursday. When we came into the month, I'm thinking that the new moon was on the 2nd, so somewhere around in there. And so the whole month of September is a month of cleansing. And then, so what does that mean? Well, what it means is beginning of the month, we got an opportunity to look at things that were inside of us that were harmful. And we had an opportunity to clean them out. Someone has posted a list of getting rid of list. And it goes from getting rid of old receipts, old clothes, things you don't wear no more, just kind of doing a whole purge of your whole house, not just, you know, going in your closet and taking out things you don't wear, but going in the closet, taking out things you don't wear, throwing away those old raggedy T-shirts you don't need anymore, throwing away those receipts, because now most things are online, and if they, you know, if it's been 2 or 3 or 4 or 7 years, you know, that's the length of time that you need for taxes, and if you have already paid the taxes, owe the taxes, whatever, then that's pretty much a done deal. You got the receipts for that, so you don't need those anymore. And just doing a complete cleaning. Well, you get a second opportunity to, if you did it the first swipe or the first go round, then you get a second opportunity with the Black Moon tomorrow. It says this is the second version of the cleansing, which is in a deeper level. So, you know, getting rid of the hate, the bitterness, the disgust, the stuff that's, you know, coming up and it's causing people to want to burn stuff and walk out in traffic and get hit by cars and all of those things and making them real angry. Why? What is it that the individuals are doing in the world that is causing all of this pain? And it's the pain inside of us that we have a lot because of our, I don't know, lack of focus, not considering that we're God's creation, that we're key, that we're valuable individuals, whatever it is that's, you know, causing individuals to not know who they are, whose they are, getting all that cleaned out and getting more secure about all of that and being rid of it. And then going on and being prosper. And again, my name is Melissa Annie DeBerry. Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. And then I hope that with National Recovery Month, been really real enlightening for you, and we will be posting the schedule. I'll post the schedule hopefully next week or in the month of October for the events that will be coming up and things that we're going to be doing, and we continue to hope that you continue to listen. And dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for the opportunity to have a platform to be able to speak freely, to be able to share with others. And dear Heavenly Father, as we continue to go, continue to provide a hand to check all around us, our families and all those in the world that are continuing to fight the fight. In Jesus' name we pray. Have a blessed day.